Well, High Wave, whatever campus you're at, whatever service you're attending, again, if you're online today, what a joy it is for me to be able to do this message and to bring something that I have in my heart for you as you have your God, Money, and Me series. I just love your pastors, Steve and Sharon, and in fact, the whole team. Can I just say thank you? I want to say thank you to the whole church for your prayer constantly for my health. As some of you, or most of you may know, I do have melanoma cancer, and the prognosis naturally is not good, but God is sustaining, and God is delivering, and God is moving. I think we're in very interesting times, and you would agree with me that all around us, things are happening that seem to not have happened before or at a greater intensity. We've all gone through lockdown globally, individually. There's a shift, I feel prophetically, that the enemy is bringing because he knows his time is short and he's becoming aggressive. And so with that comes challenge. So many Christians right now are second guessing what they've stood for and what they've believed. There's fear that's prevalent. I see in the church even, people are fearing, where will this lead? There's anxiety. There's even isolation, which is one of the plans of the enemy. Keep us away from meeting together in a faith-filled environment. And that isolation can lead to division. And I'm just here to remind you today that the gospel is not about giving up. It's not about letting go. It's not about saying, well, these are my circumstances and I don't know if I'll ever get through them. In fact, for me, I come back to Genesis chapter 1, some scriptures that have been a lifelong bedrock to my faith. God creates man at the beginning of time in verse 27. It says that God created man in his own image. Even that's a message. I've got to remind myself, whatever I'm going through, I've been created in the image of God. And he created them as male and female. I love this part. The Bible says that God blessed man and woman. And God said to them, it's time to be fruitful. It's time to multiply. It's time to fill the earth and to subdue the earth. Literally, take the things of this world and put a fence around them. Don't let them overcome you. And then have dominion. Hear this. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue the challenges that are around you and you'll have dominion. You see, I think when we go through things in life, and finances is a big deal to us, we either become overcome by the circumstances around us, or we commit to confronting and overcoming whatever challenge comes our way. I want to inspire you today, right across Wave, to dream again, to activate your kingdom mission, and to take an authority even when you're under fire. Don't shut up shop. Seed it up. In other words, be somebody that understands the principles of God. You can imagine how when we got the prognosis, it's almost a year ago that I had stage 4 melanoma and I was terminal. Had to make a decision. What was I going to do? Was I going to allow naturally the reality of what was around me to direct my future, or was I going to draw from the purposes of God? Maybe today your financial world is under attack. Maybe without even realizing it, you're being governed by your financial world. Well, I want to encourage you. Don't step back. Don't lie down. Remember that God's word makes us realize we are to activate the power and the wonder of God. There is a really major present day challenge, I think, even in the church, and that is to do with our material worlds. So if you wanted a title for the message, it would be this, Seed It Up. It's time to realize the truth of God's word. You see, money impacts, I think, more in our lives and more around us than we would ever give it credit for. And it's so easy for money, when we don't have it, to decide what we will do, or if we do have it, for us to start serving it rather than it serving the kingdom of God. People say, oh, money doesn't have control over my life. I think it does. In fact, when I often teach around money, I'm reminded of a story by an older couple that lived in the country. His name, I think, was George, and her name was Bessie. And they went to the country fair every year. George loved airplanes, and he would take Bessie, who was now getting a little older, and they would go to where there was acrobatic flights, an airplane that took people up just for a fly around and a zoom. And he would say to Bessie, his wife, every year, look, I want one day to get on that plane and have a ride. But Bessie would respond, and she says, I know, George. But you realize that that airplane ride costs $10. And by the way, $10 is $10. Well, the years rolled by, and now George was getting really old, and they went to the fair again, as they did every year. And he said, Bessie, you realize right now, I've just turned 81, and I know that if I don't ride this plane, I'll never get another chance. Well, Bessie, as she always did, replied, George, that plane costs $10, and $10 is $10. Well, they were close enough to the plane, and the pilot overheard them speaking. So he said, hey guys, come here. Saw that they were old, knew that they'd been there every year. He says, look, I tell you what I'll do. I'll do a deal for you. I'll take you both up in the plane, and if you can both keep quiet, not a word, no word at all, then I won't charge you a cent. But if you were to give one word, it's going to cost you $10. Well, she looked at George and said, all right, you can go and I'll come with you. They got on the plane, they took off, and the pilot did all sorts of twists and dives and ups and downs and all over the place. And there was not a peep from George nor Bessie, who was sitting behind him. You see, $10 had become such a big deal. They came down for a land, and as they came down to the land, the pilot said, what happened? You didn't make any noise. Where's Bessie? George says, I was going to say something, but Bessie fell out. But $10 is $10. Silly little story, but it underscores the point that money is a big deal in our lives. God, Money and Me is about discovering how we can live a financially free life, whether we have it or it's yet to come our way. My question to you would be this, is are you living financially free in your life? Are we living according to God's wisdom, or have we now embraced survival mode? I loved Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, where the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, but whatever a man or a woman sows, that they will reap. That's huge to me. I think we've heard it so often in church, we've lost the sincerity and the truth of this divine principle. Don't be led astray. Don't be deceived. Don't wander away from the path that God has given to you in the area when it comes to money or finance. And again, don't allow it to dominate what you do with your life. Make your life count for kingdom purposes. One of my revelations has been that there are many things that are beyond my control, but harvest is not one of those things. In other words, I can change my future by the way I respond today. Imagine just for a moment if you were free from financial limitation, it wasn't a factor in your life, what kind of life you could live. In my own world, here in New Zealand, our church has just celebrated 30 years, and I remember 30 years ago starting the church saying, God, I'd love to see the church become a community agency where we could help those in need to show the world that God has an answer for people. And I felt like God say to build a church that could release real effective help to people in need. It's called our community mission. We had a goal by 2021 to have more than $20 million worth of community impact taking place. And do you know what? We have achieved that. In fact, this year we're going to do more than we did the previous year. And I know that that happened because we believed in the value of seed. Today we're talking about finances. When our finances are so in God's way, God begins to work. God wants to bless us abundantly. You go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And this is what the Bible says. It says that God blessed Adam and Eve. And he said to them, you were created to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth and even subdue it In other words, there are things that you're going to have to stand up and challenge. Then you will have dominion. Can I say for everybody that's joining today, God is wanting you to have a mindset of multiplication, that there is time for us to begin to embrace the truth of God's word and his pathway to find freedom. It was really a turning point for me as a teenager when I read Galatians 6 verse 7. Don't be deceived. In other words, you can be deceived even though you attend church. Because God isn't mocked. Whatever a man, whatever a woman sows, that they will reap. In other words, you might say, well, hey, I don't have many friends. I think the Bible says if you make yourself friendly, you'll have friends. I think the Bible constantly challenges us, if you have a positive outlook, you'll have a positive result. It's the same with finances. And today, I want to just share a simple thought. One of the principles that comes out of a whole discovery of my life. In fact, I wrote a book called God, Money, and Me. And it is about the principle of honoring God, but it's more than that. It's about putting money into future generations. It's about helping those in need. There's a whole set of principles that come together. And so there is laws that are divine that if we embrace and we take hold of, God is going to move. One of the big revelations I had was this, is that you can be a sower, but not a reaper. And a farmer commits more energy into the harvest than he or she does into any of the other process of creating a field that has productive outcomes. And God's promises need seeds to be planted, but it's more than just seeding. It's about nurturing. It's about the bigger picture. So I want to encourage you, don't allow misunderstandings about money to rule you, but begin to determine that you're going to seed up your future, not just for you, but the future generations. And don't stay trapped in accepting limitation. You may have, like I did as a boy, seen pictures or even old video footage of elephants that had been trained with a chain around their leg just when they were young. And so they would walk in circles. Of course, the elephant would grow, and over a period of time, it had the strength to break free. But it didn't break through, and it didn't break free because it believed that it was still chained and it couldn't move. The restriction. Sometimes it's the same in our finances. Maybe today you're going, well, my life has been financially hamstrung for many, many years. It's not the end of the story. But it is true, financial freedom is not an overnight miracle. It's a pathway. Marie and I've been a Christian my whole life, and I was 38 years of age. We'd been married for 15 years. We were sowing into the church. We were giving to needs around us, but we were still in lack. We still never was within a bull's roar of finding our own home. And one day I was coming to God. In fact, I was often saying, God, there needs to be a shift. And I opened my Bible in what was the beginning of a transformation in my thinking that helped change my whole approach to money and actually became the bedrock of the God, Money, and Me principles. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And this is what the Bible says. God is able to make all grace, not just salvation, but all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. That word grace means benefit, favor, liberality, all sufficiency. Seriously means a state of living where you have everything you need and need no extra support. And I said, God, that's not me. I'm not even close to that. If we had an extra bill, we could not reach it. But God says, that's actually my intention for you, so that you would have an abundance for every good work. You'd be in excess, and wherever there's a need and a good work, you could make a difference. And I said, God, that's my prayer. And so I began to say, well, God, where's the blockage? And I realized that I was living an imbalanced view. What I was doing is just giving everything away, but I had never built a financial pathway. So I want to encourage you today. Your life won't change in the financial world overnight, but build a pathway. Find a new way of living with your finances. David, King David, and the people are presenting their offerings to the temple. They're building the temple for God. And you know, David, I love it. He stops and he leads all of the people in this prayer. I want you to hear it because he had a revelation. He said, God, both riches and honor come from you. And you reign in it all. And your hand is power and might. And in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Wow. It's like I'm not parking where I'm at. God, you're the God that both riches and honor come from you, and you're able to turn this around. You're able to see something shift. Because the truth is, a fruitful tomorrow requires a right seed planted today. Let me say that again. If you're going to shift and change your world tomorrow from today, it needs seeds that are the right seeds planted today. In fact, it's so easy for us to expect something to change, and yet we never understand how to do it. And we rely on money sometimes and think that's the only answer. No, it's what we do with our money that decides what God can do or not. Adam and Eve failed in the garden to position God's sovereignty in their world. They did not live according to God's pathway and plan, and they ended up losing the wonder of what God had created for them to experience. And you say, well, why was that, Paul? It was because they took what belonged to God. Can I encourage you today that there are some thoughts about how do we seed up our lives? How do we bring a shift in this area of our finances? Let me give you a couple of thoughts around that. The first one is that we are to understand that we are stewards, or we are to steward what belongs to God. Did you realize that there are things that are in our possession that are not ours? They literally belong to God. And I'm amazed globally why there is so much debate about honoring God first with our finances around the area of tithing. It's God's word that begins to shift our understanding. This first part of four principles that are going to help you build a financial pathway is that we honor God with what belongs to Him. So we're going to go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, and I want you to hear how these verses are written and hear God's heart in it. Verse 6 says, for God speaking, I am the Lord and I do not change. In other words, this is not an Old Testament, New Testament thing. I am God, and I'm the God that never changes. What was real back then is real for me right now. In fact, he writes it in the first person. I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you should be thankful that you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. So I'm asking you, says God, to return to me. Because if you return to me, I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And you have said, but in what way shall we return? It's amazing this, because the context is personal. Literally, God is saying, return to me. Not just fulfill another law, but if you return to me, I will return to you. See, the Father's heart is not to rob from us. The church's job is not to take money from people. It's actually to release and to free us into a divine plan. And so God understands that if we don't do it God's way, if we don't return to Him what belongs to Him, the enemy gains access to come against us. And we come under a new landlord. We go on to verse 10. And verse 10 says, bring all of the tithes into the storehouse. The reason for that is that there might be food in my house, and I want you to try or prove me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room to receive it. Here it is, verse 11. And I will be able to rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And then I love verse 12, which says, then all nations will call you blessed, for you will become a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. See, there is a committed devourer. Did you know that? That the enemy is working against you, either to keep finances from you or to cause your finances to become a distraction to you. And he understands the power of financial freedom, doesn't want us to break through into that. Yet God says, listen, this is about you and me. This begins with the tithe. If God's children get financially free, then we can be an expression of God's generosity in the world we're in. We can actually provide a stepping stone for generations to come. But the challenge is that we are to steward what belongs to God. That's what God asks us to do, and make sure that we stay in that place. Remember, return to me, Malachi 3:7. And then I'm free to return to you, says the Lord, and bring the horsepower that you need to break the enemy's plans off your life. In what way shall we return to you? They responded. And really, here comes the second understanding. It's that we are to understand tithing is a sovereignty decision. It's not a payment. It's not to make sure the church has enough to fix all its bills. This is about who will you put or place, position as sovereign over your financial world. Is it going to be the enemy or God? Are we positioning God as Lord over our finances? Are we honoring him? Are we saying, God, you are sovereign, even in my tough seasons, you are the one that is my sovereignty, and you are going to move powerfully, and I'm going to release your authority into my life. Malachi 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, remember, I do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your father, you left the right things. You moved away from my ordinances. But if you return to me, good news for everyone, I'll return to you. Even Adam and Eve, I think many of us know, they're in the garden. God gave them everything, but God asked them to do something so that he remained sovereign over their lives, which they failed to do. And they were removed from God's place of provision. They took what belonged to God. They opened the door for the enemy to gain access. And I reckon the enemy's wanting to come in and shut us down in tough times and in seasons where maybe we don't have what we used to have. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And I'm just sharing it out of a heart to say, I believe in everyone. I want you to realize it's so easy to drift. You can have all kinds of challenges, but financial freedom is a promise from God to us. Our freedom is determined by who or what is positioned as control and sovereign in our lives. And God asks to have that role. You see, I think money determines our resident authority. That's what I really believe. If we don't return to God what belongs to him, the enemy seeks that place of authority. You can take any note out of your wallet, and when you receive that for the first time, it has no spirit. But as soon as it touches a human hand, it gains one of two spirits, either God or mammon. No servant, Luke chapter 16 and verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters. You either hate one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to one and despise the other. And this is something that turned my life around. You cannot, it's impossible to serve God and the spirit of money. And mammon is literally a word that in the original talks about money God. Is money ruling your life, or is God sovereign over your finances? Can I encourage everyone to be in a place where we honor God first with our increase? And of course, mammon seeks to take the place of authority because it's looking for sovereignty. Every time we increase, we've got to honor God. Third thought I want to make, as I kind of bring things to a close, is we need to understand We are to steward what belongs to God. We're also needing to understand that tithing is a sovereignty decision. But thirdly, we need to understand we are to make God's plan our priority. That's where we take this home after Sunday and say, are we literally going to do this? If we were to bring all of the tithe into the storehouse, God's house, where we're fed and where we're shepherded and where we've been cared for, that there might be food in my house, it will be the place where you can prove me in this, says God. If we're not tithing, then we're not going to see the hand of God at work in our financial world. God wants us to come to that place where we begin to prove him and to take him at his word, that we are to make God's plan our priority every financial time. I was taught, I think I was less than 5 years old, to tithe. And since that time, I haven't done everything right, but I have never known one increase to come my way in a financial world where I haven't given God the first tenth. For many years, that was my life. Now I realize there is more to this financial pathway. Again, I encourage you to get God Money and Me book and read through and begin to discover that there's more to this. It's not an afterthought. It's not when we feel like we can do it. It's a non-conditional contract that we make with God. God, you are going to be placed sovereign in my life, and I'm going to make it a priority. Because if you wait till later on, you can be sure the enemy and circumstance will get in front of the way. I think WAVE, amongst many churches in the world I've had the privilege of sharing with, is a church and a leadership that really exemplify an all-in approach. I reckon there would be many faithful people that are currently and have always tithed, but there would be some of us today that have drifted. And I want to encourage you, the first step in the pathway to financial freedom, as I keep saying, is to bring the first tenth of your increase into God's house. Because as we return to him in that, he returns to us. And our material worlds, they operate either out of a surrendered or unsurrendered position. And again, in that, there is a challenge for us to keep moving forward. John Calvin put it like this. He said that when riches take hold or the dominion of a heart, a human heart, God has lost his authority. Boy, that's powerful. If I can't tithe with the first tenth, then how can I see God release the 90% for his glory and purposes? Proverbs 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. Then your own barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God has promised to take us to a place we haven't been before. Again, understand we are to steward what belongs to God. Understand tithing is a sovereignty decision. Understand also that we are to make God's plan our priority. And finally, let's understand that stewarding is a security decision. You go to Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house, and try me, prove me in this. Put me on trial if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I love this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in your field, says the Lord, and all nations will call you blessed. I want to encourage you today, begin to live your financial world according to God's plan. Because at that point, God steps in, and literally, God can say to the devil, not today. You don't have access into this person, this couple, this family's life and their financial world because they've positioned me as sovereign. They've stewarded what belongs to me. Not only that, they've made it a priority and now their security is in my heart and my hands towards them. And I'm going to shelter them and I'm going to keep my hand upon them. So I encourage you, let's go on a journey over this whole series to ensure that we're living in a pathway, we're walking a pathway of financial freedom. And again, if you want to get a copy of that book, go and have a look. I'm sure it'll be there somewhere, or you can get it actually on ebook or Amazon. I've also, with my own voice, which took forever, done an audio book. But more than that, I want to pray that God releases you into financial freedom. Father, we thank you today that you're the God that brings your word to us to set us free, not to bind us up, not to make us feel like we have to, but that there is a pathway to freedom. And I pray for every person listening to this message that, God, there will be something of a deposit of your hand into their lives, their homes, and their futures. In Jesus' name, amen.